This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Hi, everyone. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for March 6th, episode 2133, brought to you by Horselovers.com. Good morning, Horse World.
Everybody up, rise and shine. It's a new day.
It's Wednesday, Wednesday, Wednesday.
Here we can go again.
Oh, and away we go.
Coming up on today's Horselovers.com Wednesday edition, we will start the show with a sarcastic equestrian attitude adjustment, compliments of equestrian first world problems, and then Dr. Turner stops by with the lowdown on navicular. It is more than just a pain in your horse's heels. And then we're going to wrap it up with April Hardiman for your equestrian virtual assistant. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Well, thank you very much, Jennifer. That's right. We're going to move some stuff around. We're going to make some changes. Jennifer's going to come right out of that. And then you'll know what's coming up on today's show before Glenn and I get completely off topic and talk about nothing.
We've never gotten off track in the history of this program.
I know we're very focused individuals, but that's what we're going to do. We're going to make Jennifer actually keep a little bit of structure.
Who thought it was a good idea to put two people with ADD together on a show?
I don't have ADD, thank you very much. That's you.
I think you might have a little.
I just like to entertain.
You might have a little. Wait a minute. Breaking news from Full Watch 2019, Jamie Jennings reporting.
Thank you very much, Glenn. I would like to report that we don't have a baby. There is no baby yet.
Nothing?
Still bagging up. And you know what? I've got my little milk test strips, and today I'm going to milk her. I tried to touch her udder's teats yesterday, and she wanted to kill me. So they're bagging up, but there's no wax. So I got to, like,
any bruises from that whole episode? Or are you okay?
You know what? I think she'd love to kill me, but she's so freaking huge that she can't. So we will continue to have Full Watch 2019 waiting anxiously for the black colt to be delivered. Back to you, Glenn.
Okay. Thank you, Miss Jennings. You mean the red colt with white legs. Happy birthday.
Please just don't be a filly. Just don't be a filly. You know what? If I get a filly, I'm sending them to you. They're going to be a driving pair.
It's going to be a red filly with white legs. That's good. I'll take her.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy, happy birthday to you.
Well, I got a happy birthday. I got a bunch of them. So this is from Jemmy. Happy birthday to her brother, Gerard. So happy birthday, Gerard. And also auditors, Kelly Hannigan, Haley Johnson. Haley Johnson. Where the heck has Haley Johnson been? She hasn't sent an ad in forever. She used to read them and send them in. She's like, she has a life now. And then Joanne Strauss. Happy birthday to all of you. And before you go do your daily Winnie, I have to discuss something. So apparently I've been called out on the carpet again for missing birthdays of auditors. And let me just remind everybody what happens. If I am not your friend outside the auditor room, I can't tell if you're having a birthday, because I just rely on a little Facebook pop-up. If your birthday's not listed on Facebook, I can't tell you're having a birthday.
Let me break in here, because when you started doing birthdays of listeners years ago, I thought this is the stupidest segment. Why would you wish somebody a happy birthday? Well, I stand corrected.
You better.
I was wrong.
I got in big trouble yesterday.
I did not know how. There's people that are angry because for years you have missed their birthday.
There's people that are mad that we take a week off between Christmas and New Year's because that's when it's their birthday.
So we're going to do better. Here's the thing. Start emailing.
No, don't do that either.
Please. Just,
if you want me to find your birthday, have it listed on Facebook and be my friend, and then hope I don't miss it. Okay, so this is for everybody I've missed recently, which apparently has been a bunch.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy, happy birthday to you.
And I am going to make you suffer Christmas time, because the last show we do before Christmas break, I'm going to look up all the birthdays for the next 10 days, and I'm going to list them all. So there
Please
you go.
Just don't play Chili's Winnie for every single
Oh,
one
I'm going to. Just no. to spite, I'm going to.
No.
I'm going to play.
No, you're not. It's all fun. Okay, you're not going to believe this. Are you sitting down?
No, but go ahead.
You should have a seat, because you're going to be shocked. Number one, I cannot get a veterinarian to like call me back or write me back.
No kidding.
That's not the shocking part, Glenn.
Jamie Jennings pissed off more veterinarians in the United States than any other single person.
I pay my bill. I'm friendly. I'm nice. I give you a clean work environment.
You're a little annoying.
No, here's what the deal is. I am entered in the Thoroughbred Makeover. Baby Groot is going to be competing in the makeover. And by like the 17th, I have to have a vet note that says this person from a note from a veterinarian that says this person can take care of horses and does a really fine job, blah, 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 blah. And just like kind of like give me a reference. Well, I can't get anybody to give me a freaking
you know,
reference.
You are so... You're so forgetful sometimes.
Listen, I'm not done with the story.
Oh.
So the one in Arizona is not writing me back. The one here in Oklahoma, she travels a lot. So I'm sure she
I'm
just.
I'm sure asked. That's why she's busy.
So what do I do? You know what I did. I emailed Dr. Siemens, who lives in Idaho. I have never met him. So like, hi. And on Facebook, I really hope you're doing well. I hope you're not, you know, I did like that normal. By the way, can you possibly send a reference to this? And I send a screenshot of what he needs to write. And I send an email and here's the email address and blah, blah, blah.
And
I'm like, let me see if he even writes back. I mean, not 4 minutes later, I get an email back from Dr. Siemens. Absolutely. I would be happy to do something like that. However, I can't, they wanted it initially on like paper that says the veterinarian's business on it and everything. He's like, I can't get that done. I can't get a handwritten one done yet because I'm currently in Israel. I was like, what? You're in Israel and you're Facebooking me back? He is in bloody Israel right now, riding camels with his wife, and they're following the trail of Jesus Christ, okay? And
it's going to be a while.
he's taking the time to Facebook me back about sending a vet reference. And I'm like, that is totally fine. I get it. Like, enjoy your trip. It sounds amazing. I can't wait to have you on to talk about it. By the way, all they actually need is an email now. They're taking an email from a vet. You don't have to do the whole paperwork and all that when you get
back. Do you know who you...
Stop! I'm not done!
Oh.
Do you know what he does? He sends an email on my behalf to the Retired Racehorse Project Kentucky Thoroughbred Makeover from Israel, saying that, giving me my letter of recommendation and my reference. Dude gets a daily Winnie for the rest of his life. That's amazing. What a guy. I love him.
You know, you could have avoided all this just by talking to Dr. Wendy, and she had got it done for you day one.
Oh, Jesus, I forgot about that.
We have a host that's a veterinarian.
Well, I didn't make him write me a letter from Jordan, but he did. And
but this
I
made such a great story.
Yes.
Thank you. Great story.
I will guarantee you that no other person has got a vet recommendation from across the world.
Riding a donkey. On a donkey.
on a camel.
He's on a camel?
He sent me a picture. I'll email you the picture. You can use it as show notes. Because it's literally his wife on a camel.
Well, that's great. I'm glad you got it accomplished. Well, programming note here for the next couple days, there'll be no live feed for you live listeners for Thursday and Friday. We'll be back on Monday live. I'll be gone. So tomorrow we will have a driving show for you recorded earlier in the week. It'll be out tomorrow. Wendy and I had fun. We had like 12 guests. Wendy just lined them up. So, well, that'll be tomorrow. And then Jamie and Sally are recording one for you Friday morning. So get your really bad ads in like normal to Jennifer@horseradionetwork.com. So then we'll be back on Monday. So that's the change for the next couple of days for live listeners. And we haven't done this in a long time. Are you ready?
I don't know. What is it? First world problem. First world problem. First world problem. We haven't done it in a long time because it's cold and everybody's really grumpy and they've been submitting real problems. Okay, I don't want
to
hear.
Jamie
about
is the only one allowed to bring real problems to this show. Well, Jamie and I, we're both allowed to bring real
problems. It's a segment called First World Equestrian Problems. And let me start out by just saying that if you have an equestrian problem, it most likely is a first world equestrian problem. So let's keep that in mind, people. Now, these are actual problems submitted by actual listeners. I did not make these up. And they know how ridiculous their own personal life is. So I'm going to start with Jessica, who is, I think she lives down in Florida, right? With near you guys.
Yeah.
And she said that she had to take a blanket and fly spray to the barn because the bugs won't die, but it's freezing.
That's true. It's true.
Is that how it is?
It is true.
It's absolutely
true. The flies are really bad, but it's 32 degrees last night. It's like these damn things will not die.
Didn't you just clip poor little Scooter?
We did. He's wearing every piece of clothes. He looks like a homeless pony. He's wearing every piece of clothes he has.
He's wearing bedspreads. Yeah.
Bedspreads and the little hair clips. That's what we used to do. Yep. Kayla says, I don't have my own trailer to practice loading. So my trainer came to pick me up, but it took 30 minutes to load because she doesn't get to practice. God, buy yourself a new trailer. I'm like, you poor thing. Somebody's coming to pick up your horse. Your trainer's coming to pick your horse up.
Trainers hate that, too. Do you think trainers hate that? They show up and it takes a half an hour off their time to load.
You're the damn trainer. Get it in the trailer.
Good point.
Katie says, please don't tell your trainer I said that, Kayla. She's a lovely girl or guy. Katie says, I bought a new horse, but I don't like any of his two previous barn names. You don't, this is my thing. You don't have to keep a barn name. You got to keep the registered name.
Yeah. You don't have to. People change horses' names all the time.
Some people are really freaks about it. But if you give me a giant thoroughbred that is just amazing looking and his name is Cookie, I'm going to change it.
That's her Pixie. Or if it has a stripper name, you're changing it.
If it's a stripper name, it's gone.
Now, if it was a redheaded mare, would you keep the stripper name?
I don't know. What's the stripper name for the redheaded horse?
I don't know. We came up with a couple last night.
Yeah, we recorded our third thoroughbred makeover last night. Our thoroughbred
got a little silly.
Retired race horse radio. And...
Jennifer, you have one too, right?
I have one. What?
First world problem.
Oh yeah,
I do.
What is it?
Because Ocala is a daily first world equestrian problem. Well,
oh God,
you may have noticed I've been surfing a bit. We have 8 freaking tack shops within a 30-minute drive of our house. 8, none of them carry the paddock boots I want, and I'm gonna have to order them online.
Oh,
I went to all 8 shops. Spent all day at the tack shop.
She did. She didn't get any work done yesterday.
How many other things did you buy? No, <I'm> don't answer that. Your husband's on the line. Tony says, I just bought a new house and it's so beautiful, but it's like half an hour to drive to the barn. It's like double what it was to get to the barn from my apartment. But you just bought a house. Congratulations. Put your horse in your yard. Claire says, I got some new breeches, but I don't want to wear them until shedding season is over.
I don't blame her on that one, actually. Having just clipped my pony the other day, still finding hair.
Jessica has another one. I'm moving barns, and I have this super nice giant European tack trunk. But the new barn provides tack trunks, and what am I supposed to do with this? I don't want to sell it. You don't sell it. Just put it in your garage, girl.
Put it in the house, yeah. Put it at the end of the bed. Make it into a blanket trunk.
Good luck getting the smell out. All right. Lisa says, I finally got my husband to buy the right apples for my horse's preference. Pink lady. Please and thank you.
Didn't somebody ask what the favorite apples were the other day for horses? I'm like, they don't care.
Yeah, they don't care.
Yes, they do.
Do we have a picky one?
It continues on. Oh. I mean, I only eat Fuji's, but whatever. Lately, some of the skins on the pink ladies. Oh, God, I can't believe you wrote this down. Some of the skins have been kind of tough, and I've been compelled to peel them. And now I'm considering the drastic step of testing new varieties of apples for my horse. But then I'd have to retrain my husband.
Wait a minute. She's peeling the apples for her horse?
Why? Stop that, Lisa.
That might be a little OCD, Lisa. Just saying. A little bit.
I had a parent who would bring apples for the horses, and she would peel them and only brought organic apples. I'm like, listen.
Really?
They don't care. You can put it in their bucket as a whole apple, and they'll figure out a way to eat it.
Isn't it true with most fruit that the nutrition and nutrients are in the skins?
That's what my mama used to tell me to get me to eat the whole dang thing. Whatever. Are you going to eat a banana skin? I'm not.
I had a good friend that used to eat the seeds and the core and all. I couldn't do it.
I thought apple seeds had arsenic in it and you would die.
No, he ate the whole thing. I just always was like, ugh, every time he did it.
I bet he didn't do it when people were around.
Did it when we were around. That was Hank and Jennifer.
Yeah, I figured as much.
What a jerk. Kimberly says, this might be, I had to read this one to Chad earlier because I just thought it was so funny. My friend went out of town, and so she's obviously farm sitting. She says she had goat duty. Did you know that goats only like hot water to drink? Anyway, our on-demand hot water heater in the barn went out, so the goat's water had to be microwaved.
I didn't know that about goats. Did you know that? I didn't know that.
Do you know how long it takes to heat that much water in the microwave?
It takes a beer. A beer.
That's how long it takes. All I see is I can picture Kimberly leaning up against the microwave, wondering what she's done with her life to be kicked up against a microwave drinking, waiting for goat water to heat up.
Goats sound like such a pain in the ass. I know there's people that love goats.
In my life. Chad, again, he reiterated the fact that goats, he's out. He's done.
Oh, I made that pretty clear, too. Our landlord started talking about goats, and I was like, no goats, please.
Please don't.
I don't want them on my car.
Haley says, I just got my wedding pictures done, and I got them back, and I feel obligated to have one as my profile pic, but I'd rather have a pic in my profile of me and my horse. Girl, it's your profile. You do what you got to do.
I looked, and she has a wedding pic.
I know. I looked, too, and I'm very disappointed in you, Haley. Come on. I mean, obligatory, 3 days, and then let's get back to real. You know, you don't want to trick your husband.
Honeymoon's over. Let's go.
Honeymoon's over. Yeah, when the honeymoon's over, you can go back to maybe, one picture from the honeymoon, and then come on. And then finally, April says, I just got a new horse, and then the owner sent his boots with him. But they don't match my current saddle pad color, and now I need a new saddle pad or new boots. Let me add, or a new horse. Get a horse that matches your boots and your saddle pad.
There you go.
Obviously.
Mo added one here. I love Mo. I gave up Palm Beach winters to move to Texas for my husband's job, with the primary appeal being I would finally be able to afford a horse. I've just started looking, and there are too many nice horses in Texas.
Oh, God. How are you going to survive?
I don't know how she's living. I really don't. Well, see, there were some good equestrian first world problems today.
Yes, that's true. Those were good ones. Especially the goat water and drinking a beer, leaning up against the microwave, wondering what the hell you've done with your life. That's what I got out of that.
All right, let's talk about horselovers.com while Jennifer gets our first guest on here today. Well, horselovers.com, I was over there this morning taking a look around, and the first slide is Iridian riding wear 80% off. The second slide is Carrots new markdowns. Shop hundreds of Carrots closeouts on sale. And the third slide is Whores has, is it Whores?
H-O-R-Z-E, Whores.
That's how, I never got a clarification. And you know, I asked them the one day at the trade show, and they're all like from overseas. They're like from Denmark or someplace. And I couldn't even still understand what they said. So they have up to 60% off their breeches and tights. So you got three big reasons to head over to horselovers.com today. There's a ton of sales going on. And when I clicked on the Carrots, because Carrots are very popular with our listeners, and when I clicked on the Carrots markdowns, they have some of a markdown 30%, 40% off, 52% off for the full
seats. It's like it's free.
It's like it's free. That's exactly right. And they have three full pages of Carrots stuff marked down, coats and breeches and all different kinds of stuff. So if you're a Carrots fan and you're a Carrots lover, head on over there, see if you can find your size and the color you want. And they do have colors of Carrots. And you can find those at horselovers.com today. Don't forget to use the coupon code HRN. Apparently, it's still working. So over $49, you'll get something. I don't remember what it is because it's been around so long. Do you remember?
Dollars off.
I think it's dollars off or something, but just use it. You'll get something off. Use the coupon code HRN. We're so good at this commercial. Sorry, horse lovers. I just can't remember.
It's so, $5 off.
It's $5 off? Okay. So use that coupon code when you're ordering anything over there at horselovers.com. And thank you for their continued support of the Horses in the Morning show. So I am heading to a podcasting conference today and called PodFest. Longtime listeners will know that we've done this one a few times. And, you know, I'm going to give her a shout out because we don't do it enough. And she's one of our super fans. And that's Ellen Ferrante is coming down. She's actually just left the airport and she's coming down because she has her own podcast. She has several podcasts now, but she started those because she heard our show and just liked it. And so she went out and started her own. And if you, everybody, longtime listeners, remember Ellen is in New York City, and she works, she and her husband run a cancer doctor place. So
is that what it's called?
So the cancer doctor place.
Doctor place.
Remember, she used to play our show in the waiting room, and we always went, "You're torturing those poor clients." So anyway, I'm going to see Ellen, and also Helena's coming down. Helena and Buck will be there, so it's going to be like a reunion of Horse Radio Network there. Jamie will be there, and some of the new shows we have over on the Florida Podcast Network will be there, too. So I'm looking forward to seeing a lot of old friends and colleagues over at PodFest. All right, we are ready for this.
It's time for the Horses in the Morning Horse Health Report, when our intrepid hosts, together with an unlucky member of the equine veterinary trade, attempt to inform, enlighten, or terrify horse owners everywhere into funding a Kickstarter campaign to mass-produce Kevlar-coated, bubble-wrap-lined equine products.
And we're going to talk about something today that basically is something that so many of us have had to deal with throughout the time. And we're going to talk to Dr. Turner about navicular disease. Good morning, Dr. Turner.
Good morning.
Where in the world are you?
I currently live in Stillwater, Minnesota.
Oh, it's, I'm sure you're hot up there. It's, I mean, you must be sweating.
Well, yeah, today we're looking for a heat wave of someplace around zero.
Yay! You're gonna make zero today.
Wow, that is exciting. Minnesota. You know that there are veterinarians in all parts of the country. You do know that, right? Like, you don't have to be there.
Yes, just... I... No, and I And I used to live in Florida, so I'm like going and
wait a minute.
Came over me to come up here.
We live in Ocala. You move from here to there? That's not the way people go.
Well, I used to joke with people and tell them, you know what? You can dress for the cold. You can't dress for the hot. or you can't undress for the hot.
Yeah, you're not saying that right now. I guarantee you. You just
yeah. You know what? Oh, no, I can undress from the hot and when I'm in my pool. Well, Dr. Turner, it is really nice to have you on. You guys, Dr. Turner has served as an Olympic, World Equestrian, and Pan Am Games veterinarian. And here, I hope you don't feel like I'm being disrespectful just joking around with you, because you're kind of a big deal. You operate Turner Equine Sports Medicine and Surgery in Minnesota. And we're going to talk a little today about navicular syndrome, which affects horses all over the world, even in Florida. So I guess let's start with the basics of what is navicular syndrome?
Well, navicular syndrome, and I want to emphasize the key word, and that's called syndrome. And a syndrome is a series of different diseases that are all going to look very similar. And all these diseases that we're concerned about center around the horse's navicular bone. And because that's a center of activity, of structures, of everything that happens in that horse's foot. So the term navicular disease was the original term, and it came about because that's a bone you could see. And when you dissected it out, that's the first thing you saw. So you saw the changes that occur over time. But over the years, we learned that, well, it's not just the bone. There's ligaments attached to the bone. There's synovial structures right next to the bone. There's a tendon next to the bone. So there's a lot of different structures that get strained, injured, et cetera, but it all manifests itself in the same manner. So the same clinical signs. So hence the name navicular syndrome.
Gotcha. Okay. So navicular disease is out. Nobody says that anymore.
Well, everybody says everything anymore. I mean, this whole condition travels under a lot of different names.
Gotcha.
In the English language, you know, it started off as navicular disease. We changed the nomenclature syndrome because it better reflected the diseases.
Right.
But it's hard to change a lot of things. I mean, actually, the term I prefer to use is palmar foot pain, because all these structures are in the back part of the horse's foot, the palmar part. But what's in a name? You know, a rose by any other name, still the same thing. So
sure.
It's still a very frustrating condition. It's a condition that affects a lot of horses. So you know what? A name doesn't matter. If we want to go to Germany, we'll call it podotrochosis, which is, you know, it sounds more fun, you know.
Now you're just showing off.
Yeah, I am.
So tell us what... Well, I mean, okay, so we have horses that come up lame and then they block out to heel pain. What is going on in there? Like, what is happening in the palmar area of the foot to cause pain?
So it's like any other athlete. So if we look at the horse just for a moment and we actually consider the marvels of this animal. So they're really running around on their middle fingers and toes, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, if you can imagine for one second, you're walking around and putting all your weight on your middle finger and that's taking all the weight. And not only that, but you're one of the fastest creatures on earth, and you're also fairly large, so you can generate a tremendous amount of energy that hits this horse's foot. So it's an area, it's where the rubber meets the road, it's where a lot of things can be stressed and strained. And if you think about what we do with horses, we're jumping 6-foot fences. You know, we're dancing with the stars, bang, bang, bang. And you know how much dancing you got to do to get good at it. So it's a tremendous amount of strain on different structures. So all these ligaments and bursts, all you have to do is hurt one of them, overstress it, you get some inflammation in it. And once you have inflammation in it, your body goes, pain. And that's a mechanism that we were given to tell us to back off. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we don't do that. And what happens with the nerve block, they block out. Okay. They block out. They all block out the same because it's the same nerve that innervates all these structures. That's mm-hmm. why the horse exhibits the same signs. He's got pain down here. The horse can't tell you that, oh, I strained my collateral sesamoidian ligament a little bit. Can we just have a little bit of time off here? Versus, hey, I got a little bursitis. I just need to take off a little bit of time, slow down. I'll be back. So that's where, you know, the diagnostics and going through the physical examination very closely to try to get the horse to tell you what they feel. And that's the art of the science. So that's the different things that can happen, all sorts of different things. So there's so many different structures involved. We just have to try to do our best to see if we can figure out which one's been injured.
So what are some of the ways that we can diagnose? Because there's obviously a lot of different things that can go wrong in that area, like you're describing. So how can you tell one from the other? And what should I be looking at as an owner to see what my veterinarian should be doing or will be doing?
So I've pushed for years, and I'm not a young man anymore. I spent my career trying to teach people how to do that. It's just not a set of hoof testers. I mean, hoof testers are okay. They tell you a certain amount of things, but I use this different wedges and stuff and put different stresses and strains on the horse's foot to see if the horse will tell me, ow, yes, that hurts. So that tells me mechanically, if I do this, I create some pain, what structures could be involved. And then we can also even do differential nerve blocks. Now it's hard to do in the field. When I was in academia, you know, we could have a horse for a couple of days and then go through different scenarios to desensitize different areas selectively to get the horse to tell us, okay, I have this much pain from here and this much pain from here, and then we could help add it up. But once we've located the pain in that area, that's now why we're so insistent on wanting to do some sort of imaging. Radiographs is obviously the one most everybody's familiar with, but the radiographs really only tell us about the bones. We can make some inferences about other structures based on changes in the bones, but you can only see bone on a radiograph, really.
Right. So probably first step would... So yeah, probably first step would be the first step would be the radiographs. And what if we don't see any changes to the bone? Then you start to see, okay, well, then it must be a ligament or a tendon or a bursa or something like that. What's your next step for the diagnosis?
So if you don't see changes on the bone, okay, bone always takes a while to change itself anyway. So, but that's always a good sign. Okay, I'm okay with that. So then we may be dealing with some sort of soft tissue structure. Then if I can get an idea, you know, which one I'm using at, we can treat that therapeutically. And if that's not coming around, or if somebody wants to pursue it to the end, then the next thing is to look at potential, and again, based on clinical signs, I might go do ultrasonography, which allows me to look at some of the soft tissues.
Okay.
And this can all be done on, you know, the visit, and I can look at the collateral ligaments around the coffin joint. I can look around part of the tendons and the ligaments in the pastern area down into just above the navicular bone. I can get a little inkling of some of it by going through the frog and looking at the bottom of the navicular bone and getting an inkling there. But at this stage, if I really, you know, want to go hit the gold standard at this point, that would be an MRI. And that's why people push you for to get an MRI to get a sectional look and to be able to look at all these soft tissues. Mm-hmm. Now, the thing that oftentimes scares everybody when they get an MRI, they get a list of stuff. But you got to go, the radiologist, you know, he listed every pimple on the horse. Mm-hmm. So what we have to go through is back to the examination. What did the horse tell us? What's under stress? Which one of these is most likely? And then pick the appropriate therapy for what we see and try to get the horse rehabbing. Look at the potential things that predispose the horse to these problems. Lots of times we'll see hoof capsule issues, so we can adjust that with some shoeing. We can take some stresses and strains off different structures by shoeing. We can utilize anti-inflammatory drugs to help knock out inflammation, or we can use some different regenerative therapies to help get ligaments, tendons to heal a little bit faster.
Wow. Okay. So
it's a management. It's a process. It's a management process.
Is there, you mentioned things that you can see in an MRI. When they take the MRI, you said they list everything. Is it an MRI of the whole horse? I've never had a horse have an MRI. So is it sectional?
MRI takes a while. So it's going to be, they're going to center on an area. So, typically if we send it in and the horse is blocked out to the palmar digital nerve block, they're going to do, the pasture and into the foot.
Okay.
That's what fits in the magnet, and they can get a really good look at that. But that's going to take a while. The horse has to be perfectly still. So either he's sedated and doing a standing one, or he's in a big magnet and getting high detail. But he has to be still. But you're limited to this little area. You can't do a whole body. If you wanted to look at some sort of whole body sort of thing, that would be what we call scintigraphy. And that's mm-hmm. a way to look at all the parts at one time.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay. Well, back to navicular syndrome. Is there, I feel like there's one particular breed that comes up with navicular problems. So is there a genetic component to navicular problems?
Probably. There's been a number of different studies. Well, I know it's vague because, is there a gene out there that causes, I don't know, but there's been enough studies to go, yes, if you follow familial lines, they have these issues. But also with those same issues, you have conformational stuff that probably predisposes the horse to the same issues. You have conformational weaknesses in their feet. You know, sometimes you may see a horse with what we call the high foot, low foot sort of thing. So one foot's high, one foot's low, and that puts different stresses and strains. So that's certainly genetic. There was a study done in Europe where they took certain parameters. Actually, what they did is they looked at the navicular bone and they culled horses out of this program that had changes in their navicular bone at a certain age. And what they were able to do is breed out these changes in the navicular bone.
Wow.
So yes, there is a genetic component, but it's going to be very complicated.
Gosh. And so maybe you see a horse, you know, like my experience has been quarter horses and paints where they have this big giant body and these teeny tiny little feet. Yeah, exactly. So there's poor hoof balance, maybe a big body on a little, you know, like you were saying, they're walking around on their middle fingers, basically. So when you see these type of horses, what are some treatment options and then career options for these horses? Are they done?
Well, I mean, let's talk about the big body, small footed horse. And actually, you know, over the years, we're getting better at this. I did a study a number of years ago, actually when I was at the University of Florida, where we actually came up with a formula looking at body size to foot size because, it depends on the horse. I mean, everybody always complained about the quarter horses, but our warm bloods are big. And sometimes they don't have the biggest wheels on them. They have a bigger foot than a quarter horse, but still body size to that. So we came up with a body size to foot ratio. And what was important about this ratio was not, you know, if they had the big body and the small feet and they became lame, it they're tough to deal with. And it's because there's so much stress and strain because of that. So the idea is that if you're going to have one of these horses, you better have them really cared for really well from the start. Cause if they get lame, it's really hard to get them sound again. Doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get lame, but it to me, it was one of the, it was not the most common thing we saw from a conformational thing, but it was the most significant one as far as prognosis goes.
Okay. So let me give you an example here. I recently acquired a thoroughbred off the track, and he is big old 16-2 thing, and I feel like he has little feet, and he's not lame. He's not been injured. Nothing is wrong. He's like a blank slate. What are some of the things that I can do to prevent issues? Can I grow bigger feet on him?
Well, if you figure out how to do that, give me a call because we can make a fortune together.
Dang it!
But usually, I mean, a lot of those horses at the, you know, at the track, they, the thoroughbred foot, and I don't know which one you've got, but a lot of these, you know, tend to be, they just don't have a lot of mass to them. So if you can grow a little bigger foot, but sometimes let's face it, in order to get one trait, we've bred out another trait. So let's take your thoroughbred and just start from that. Now is when I would have a long discussion with my farrier about how can we put, what would you be, you know, how can we work together and put the best foot on this horse we can? Because you have the concerns that it's a little small. You'd like to, I'd like a bigger wheel. Mm-hmm. I'm with you. So that's working together, and we start to make adjustments now when the horse is sound to put on what I just like to call is the best foot possible. Mm-hmm. And make sure the mechanics of that foot stay as optimum as we can. Now, depending on the foot, depending on where you live, these things will all alter a little bit. But at the end of the day, good farrier work is good farrier work. And that's where I would start with my horse.
Gotcha. You know, Dr. Turner, is there a place in Oklahoma that you would consider moving to? Because I would really like you to be my vet. I just moved here. I don't have a vet and I really need one like you. And so I would like you to move down here to Norman, Oklahoma. That'd be great. Okay. I'll come get you.
Okay.
Anything ready. To get He's out ready. Of Minnesota.
This has
well,
been
and actually very true. I do a lot of traveling during the winter and get out of here. Yeah.
I don't blame you a bit. Well, listen, where can people go to find out more? Do you have a website? I know your email is info@turnerequinesportsmed.com. Any other way people can find you and get a hold of you for questions?
I have a website. It's TurnerEquineSportsMed.com, and I've even on there is a couple of papers I've written regarding the Vicator issues and some other things that tools that we've used over the years to help diagnose these things. That's a place to start.
Fantastic. Dr. Turner, thank you. Again, Turner Equine Sports Medicine and Surgery, it has been just an honor to talk to you and a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on and explaining this. And I will see you next week. Come on down. Let's go.
All right. Take care of yourself.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Dr. Turner. Well, there you go. I'm trying to get a new one that will ignore you forever.
Please, nobody else will call me back. Please.
You know, we have some news stories to get to, but I wanted to say something. You know, I busted on the auditors earlier because they called me out on the whole birthday thing. But I also wanted to say thank you to all the listeners, auditors and people who are not auditors, just our listeners in general. So Libsyn, who is the number one or two hosting company that hosts podcasts. They have tens and tens and tens of thousands of them, or hundreds of thousands of them probably by now, did their reports this week on
what
numbers.
They host a podcast.
In other words, we have to put our files someplace, and then they send the files out to all Apple and all the players. They have the servers that host our sound files. So the sound file that you listen to comes off of their servers. So we pay them to do that. And they keep track of all the numbers out there. And there were some interesting numbers. And I wanted to thank our listeners because they're the ones that have gotten us to this point after all these years. And this is on all the shows too, but just specifically on Horses in the Morning, we fall into the top 3% listenership-wise of all podcasts in the world. That means there's 97% of the podcasts that are below us as far as number of downloads per episode. That's pretty incredible when you think we do a show about horses on a daily basis.
Hold on. I can't believe that. You mean all these podcasts in the world, and we get, like, in the top 3% of downloads?
Yes. The average podcast only gets 120 downloads per episode. That's average. That means that half of them get less than that. So I can say that Horse Radio Network, if you take all of our shows and average them out, we are in the top 5% when you take all of our shows, We're above 95% of the podcasts out there. Now, part of that is because we've been around so long and word of mouth has helped us. And we've just stuck it out, right? Through the years when we had no listeners, we stuck it out. But I just want to thank our listeners. And you know what? Go out. The way people hear about shows is they hear them from their friends. Jamie, you made a perfect example on Monday. You said, I went to the auditor room to find out about new shows. And everybody was more than happy, like a lot of them, were more than happy mm-hmm. to tell you about the shows they like. So please go out and tell your friends. There were a couple comments on that post that really stuck with me. People said, I tell people about Horse Radio Network all the time, and I'm shocked they don't know about it. Well, that happens to us all the time, too. We're out talking about it to horse people that you would think would know, and they don't. So don't be afraid. You know, you don't have to be an auditor. You don't have to pay us anything. But one of the things you can do to help support the shows that you like here at the Horse Radio Network is to go out and tell your friends. Tell everybody at the barn. Post it on Facebook. Post it on Twitter. If you do Instagram, post it on Instagram. But that's a free, easy way that you can really help us out. And it makes a difference. It helps us get to the point where we are now. Now, we've had a lot of media partners along the way, too. Good friends in Horse Nation and Eventing Nation and all the other magazines and websites that have helped us out along the way, too. But you should be very proud. All of you should be very proud of what you've done in helping create one of the largest independent podcast networks. And it's about horses. So
horses are the best.
And you should be proud too, Jamie. Obviously, you're you know, the big part of this show. And also now your new show is doing so well. It's really doing well. We had something happen last night. You know, you do an adoptable horse of the month through New Vocations. And
yeah, of the month. We do one every episode.
Every episode.
At the end of Retired Racehorse Radio is the name of the show. And we do an adoptable horse through New Vocations, which is very dangerous for somebody like me because they're like, hey, look at this
Joy
horse.
Joy was pretty checking them out too.
Yeah. So we go on and we look at these horses and we just highlight one of them. And oh my gosh, they're like, we're shocked how many people are calling about these horses now. It's almost like the adoptable horse is going to eventually become like a bidding war. Of course not, because they only have an adoption fee, but I'm so thrilled that something that we are doing is for good. I love that. I love that we are able to affect the lives of one human who gets a great horse and one horse who gets a great human. It's awesome. I'm so, so happy. If you do nothing else in the world, make a change, make a difference. And that is what I felt like they were telling us we're doing, which is awesome.
Yeah, it was good.
All
to hear
the horses we've highlighted have been adopted.
After two, you know, each episode, and they're only 2 weeks apart. So, you know, but we did that years ago on this show, and every one, we do it once a month with New Vocations. I mean, what was that, 8 years ago, maybe? We'd do it once a month, and every horse got adopted. So,
all right, you know what? I want to start highlighting on this show. Can we do a different rescue horse of the month?
Sure, we should pick something not thoroughbred, you know, just a general rescue. And we've done, we have to vet the rescue, obviously, because
you are, yeah, you
we're
have
pretty
to vet
picky
the rescue.
About that. But we've done a lot of good rescues. We've worked with a lot of good rescues over the year, and I think that is something that we should do. If it's working, we should do it. And if it's finding homes for these horses that have had a tough life up till now, then we should do it. But this was my chance of thanking you, and thank you, Jamie, thanking
that's
Jennifer.
Insane.
Thanking.
I feel like nobody listens to us at all.
Do you know, and you know, we overlook Jennifer's show, Horse Tip Daily. It is one of the most downloaded shows we have every month, and she puts out episodes sporadically. They're not even on a regular basis. It's when she has them, she puts them out. But because there's almost 2,000 short tips on there, people go back and listen to all the back catalog all the time. So we get thousands of downloads on that every month. And it's, you know, it's a show that's just basically out there. But you can go there and search, I want to learn about navicular, and you'll find 10 episodes about navicular, and you can listen to them in a half an hour. So definitely go take a listen to Horse Tip Daily as well. All right.
Navicular plugging syndrome, Glenn. Navicular syndrome.
That's correct. I'm
hey,
sorry.
We have some news stories.
Yeah, I got to do a commercial first, though. Can I do that?
Okay.
All right. Let's hear from Ovation, and then we'll come back with some news stories.
Horse people know that they can count on Ovation's value, quality, and style when it comes to hard-wearing schooling attire, affordable show gear for horse and rider, or top-of-the-line equipment for riders at every level. From breeches to bridle works, saddles to stock ties, helmets to half chaps, Ovation is the premier brand of riding apparel and equipment for you and your horse in the United States, outfitting riders at every level from head to toe. Ask for Ovation brand riding helmets, breeches, and footwear at your local tax store.
Or go online to ovationriding.com
and see the fantastic variety of quality, fashion-forward, affordable products from Ovation. Ovationriding.com.
All right, we're back with some news.
I want to do two. So there, I'll do the first one, and then you do the second one, because I want to end on the funny one,
okay.
Which is a ridiculous thing. So just, we have been really quiet about it because I don't like talking about negative things on this show. This is not a show where we get into politics or drama or things like that, but we have to still be deliver the news. And that is, they have indefinitely canceled racing at Santa Anita. For those who have followed, there are now 21 equine fatalities in the last 10 weeks at Santa Anita. And they've closed already once, and they went and checked out the track, and then they lost one or maybe two more after that, after they closed the track. And it's all on the main track. There's a training track and a main track. And they have decided to cancel racing days before, like, the Santa Anita Stakes, Santa Anita Handicap,
which are
bunch
Kentucky
of,
Derby qualifiers, aren't they?
Yeah, they're Kentucky Derby preps. So a lot of them, the San Felipe Stakes and the Kilroy Mile. Anyway, they've closed a lot of them, and there's just, it's just inexcusable what is happening there. So they have closed it, and I have lots of opinions on this, and I feel like closing it is the only option right now for this, and I'm going to be calm about this delivering of the news. Right, Glenn?
Yeah, well, she's going to try. So I do have an opinion, too, and this is over the overall. This is where I'm not going to talk specifically about what happened here. I don't know. And that they don't know. That's why they've closed the track. They don't know what's going on. But overall, we cannot have this happening and cannot have the animal rights activists. This just gives them a loaded shotgun and something to point at. And it, just for the good of the sports overall, this is not good. It's like, obviously, I'm taking out the emotional side of the horses and all of that. If we take a look at the 5,000-foot picture, it's just not good. So, my opinion, they should have done it about 10 horses ago.
That is where trying to stop
and
be calm is absolutely... Shame on these people who are, there's 10, you've lost 10 horses. You still send your horse out there? Really? Is that a good idea? That's what my problem is all these people on the backside talking amongst each other, and they're still sending horses out on the track, and they're losing horses. And so where does it stop? Finally, they've shut down the track, and temporarily shutting it down, and they're going to recheck the track out. They've just had an ungodly amount of rain, and that is the problem that, you know, has potentially been plaguing the track, is the amount
helped.
Of rain.
Yeah,
it hasn't helped. So anyway, I'm just going to move past this and not get hyper emotional at this point and really angry, and say finally they've closed the track indefinitely, and they'll be checking on this.
And for new listeners, we support racing. It's not that we don't support racing, but like with any other discipline, we support it done correctly.
We support responsible things. And you would think that Santa Anita would have their S together.
And I don't care whether that's racing or eventing or dressage or whatever it is. We've been very consistent about that over the last 10 years. We support it done to the benefit of the horse. So anyway, let's get back to, let's go to Groom's Pee. Let's talk about pee.
This is the most ridiculous thing I have ever heard.
Okay, so this Canadian writer named Mario Desolare, something like that. He's a long French last name, and he was at the Nations Cup final, and his horse drug tested, and they basically took out and said, "Well, we're not going to count your scores because your horse tested for drugs." Well, they finally came down to a ruling, and it says, let me read this to you because it's kind of funny.
You cut out for a second there. Oh, okay. Maybe that was me.
That was you. A male groom who urinated in a horse's stable was behind a failed drug test in show jumping horse at the FEI Nations Cup in Barcelona last October, the FEI tribunal has found. The FEI accepted the explanation from the rider and agreed that he bore no fault to negligence over his drug breach, a crucial step in the rider being exonerated. It emerged that his male groom had been prescribed an antidepressant. Due to the distance between the stables and the toilets at the event, the groom urinated in the stables, in the horse's stall, which was something that, to his knowledge, was a regular practice for most male grooms, riders, and trainers. Not just male. I've seen, there's women and we all pee in the stalls. Expert advice was produced that within a reasonable, this is where I get a little fishy on this, within a reasonable degree of scientific certainty, it could have led to the positive finding and the concentrations found in the horse. How was he eating the bedding? I don't how to get into the horse. That's the part I don't understand.
When you take a drug test of a horse, okay, let me just paint a picture. I've had this happen many times in eventing. Some, you come out of the dressage and they just, hey, you got popped. Like, let's go. And they follow you to the stall and they have a cup and literally they will sit there until your horse pees and they will catch some of the urine and send it off and you get drug tested. You never hear anything if it's, you know, negative. So this somebody caught the urine from this horse and sent it off, and it had some antidepressant in it.
Well, yeah, some drug.
some drug in it. And they're saying that the urine that the horse had came from the groom peeing in the stall. Now, number one, we all pee in the stall. Has this ever happened in the history of the world? Give me a freaking
That's what
break.
I mean. How did it go from the bedding in the stall into the horse?
I'm pretty sure horses will avoid human urine when they're picking their hay off the ground. Really, this is so stupid.
It's one of the most bizarre stories we've had in a while. Anyway, that's it for Jamie. She's cutting out, but we have more show to come. We have a guest waiting on the line, and we have another one I'm going to be calling in Germany. So we're going to be
I'm having fiber trenched in my yard.
Please,
so
God, let him put your internet in.
Trying.
You can get out early anytime for that. We have April Hardiman coming up, the Equestrian Virtual Assistant. We're going to be talking about the importance of websites for riders and for people with horse businesses. But Jamie will be back here on Friday with Sally and having a silly time, I am sure.
Spay and neuter, y'all.
Thank you, Jamie. So we're going to take a break for a song. I'm going to get everybody set up, and we're going to continue with the show.
Spread your wings and fly. Jump into the sky. For the very first time, you're gonna leave your sorrows behind. As long as you stand on your feet, no one can pull you down, 'cause you are stronger than you know. Even when you feel alone, as long as the sun rises every day, you're gonna find your way. You're gonna find your way. Walk in your shoes, win or
And that voice was Fleur Magaly. She sings out. She's an independent artist out of Switzerland and has a lot of beautiful music. You can actually find her website at fleurmagaly.com. Well, now it is time for our business segment that we do once a month on a Wednesday. And we have one of our terrific listeners for many, many years. And she's also an equine virtual assistant. April Hardeman is on with us. How are you, April?
Good. How are y'all?
Good. We're still coming from Germany, I assume.
Yes, and I actually have a fun German term for Jamie this time.
Oh, and she left early. What is it?
Oh, no. So it's for changing hand through the half diagonal for dressage. It's durch die Haberbahn wechseln. So I have
That's
to say that one
for next time.
That's
a long word for...
Yes.
Germans have a habit of that. All the words are long.
Yeah, well, yeah. It makes it kind of easy, too. You can actually make up your own words because a lot of their words are just a lot of words combined together. So,
have you learned any of the language since you've been there? Are you able to converse?
Yeah, I can kind of converse a little bit. In the beginning, when we were first here, I was learning a lot. And then once I had my daughter, I kind of just stopped using it. And it was crazy how fast it just went away. But for my lessons, they still kind of get me to do it for my writing lessons.
So how do you say, where's the bathroom?
Oh, gosh. I just say toilet, and then I just kind of say it with a question mark, and they point.
They've heard that from enough Americans. They know. Yeah. All right. Well, you have a guest joining us today, too.
Yes, I do. Today's topic was going to be on website importance, and I'm bringing on Teresa from Cowgirl Media. She's got 21 years in the business with working with equestrian, agricultural, and rural businesses with doing websites. About 40% of businesses still do not have websites, so I thought she'd be perfect to come on today.
Hi, Teresa. Are you here?
I'm here. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. You know, before you guys get started...
You bet. And by the way,
yeah.
If you don't mind,
yeah.
To ask where the bathroom is in Germany, you say, wo ist das Klo?
Oh, there you go.
See, she knew that.
I did. I lived in Germany for a year when I was a teenager.
Oh, okay. So I got a...
Well, it's fun trivia.
Let's talk about websites a little bit before you guys get started. I got to say that, you know, one of the things that I'm going to a podcasting conference for the rest of this week, and it's one of the biggest ones in the country. And I guarantee you, you talk about 40% people not having websites. All those people with podcasts don't have, you know, there'll be 70% of them that don't have a website, you know, because our podcasts get distributed out and people, they think, never goes to the website. What they forget, and one of the things that we did well 11 years ago when we were one of the innovators in podcasting is we had websites. And the SEO now on those websites, you look up any writer's name that's been a guest, we're showing up on the first page. So if they don't have that website, they're not getting that SEO. So it is very, very important. Okay, April, take it away.
All right. So, Teresa, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about your business?
Yeah, So like you mentioned, I've been doing websites since I started in 1998 when I helped my then husband build a website for his automotive repair shop. And I had, at the time I was raising and breeding and training horses. And so I had a lot of friends that were interested in getting on the internet because it was still pretty new at that time. And it just kind of, you know, blossomed from there. And I just started doing little things here and there. And then in 2007, I stepped it up a notch and became a lot more proactive in my business. And then in 2012, I finally quit the part-time job, and I've been doing this full-time ever since. So it's blossomed out really nicely. It's a great way to make a living. I'm a morning person, so I'm up early working. Afternoons, I get to go ride, spend time out with the horses when we're not buried in snow, that is. And so it's a great way to make a living. I love the people that I've been able to connect with.
Yeah, it definitely lets you stay flexible. So since the topic is on websites, why do you think websites are still so important?
Well, gosh, I don't think they'll ever be any less important. I mean, it's a digital world. We're not getting any less digital as we go forward, that's for sure. I kind of think that there are three main reasons, in my view, why websites are important, as opposed to just a social media presence, let's say. And the most obvious in my mind is that not everyone is on social media, which I think a lot of people find that hard to believe. And of course, it depends on your target customer a little bit for sure. But in North America, there's still roughly 30% of the population that is not on social media. So that's a lot of people. Or maybe they've been on social media and they're tired of it and they're gone already. So last year, I got to ride in the combine during bean harvest, and the farmer's like in his mid-30s, and he's not on Facebook. Doesn't care to be on Facebook, on anywhere near Facebook. So there's a lot of people out there that still need to be reached. So a website, you know, he may not be on Facebook, but he's on the internet for sure. And so there's, you know, a website is a much more effective way to reach some of those people than social media. So while if someone does a Google search for somebody and it comes up with their Facebook page, for example, and they aren't on Facebook, they will not be able to click through and see that content because they don't have a Facebook account, whereas they could click through and visit somebody's website. So that's one of the reasons. A second reason, especially for people in involved in any type of animal agriculture or you know, any type of animal business, is education. And there's a lot of misinformation about how animals are raised and treated. And even in the equine industry, which is mostly recreational for your customers, you know, for example, there's still information that they need about how you do your business and why you do what you do with the animals. And there's a saying in the agricultural world, if you don't write your story, someone else will. So because of a lot of the misinformation out there, it's important that all of the education be factual from the people that are living it and not written by somebody who's sitting behind a desk trying to get a news story out there. So educating is a big part of it. It's really hard to educate on just social media. We have a responsibility to educate. Plus, there's a great amount of marketing and confidence building that can be done via education. So you're marketing to them, but you're not pitching to them. And people are tired of being pitched to. It's a nonstop, you know, scrolling through Facebook or Instagram. It's nonstop business stuff, which is great for businesses, but consumers are pretty tired of being pitched to all the time. So if you can just educate and inform, then you're marketing in a way without being so obvious about it. And you can do that via blog posts or other pages on your website that can give out that education in a way that you couldn't do it in print 20 years ago, or you would have to do it in print 20 years ago.
Yeah. And people still search. And people still search on Google. So there, you know, when you're searching, you know, that I need a boarding stable in my area, you're going to Google to search for that. You're not searching for that on Facebook. You're not searching for that on Twitter. You're going to Google and searching, and they're not going to find you unless you actually have a website. The other big thing too, and Teresa, I think you would agree with this, is you own your website. You don't own Facebook. And Facebook can do whatever it wants. Does MySpace come into mind here for anybody? They come and go. You know, social media comes and goes, and you own your website. It's the only thing you do own. You don't own any of that other stuff. You don't own Instagram. You don't own any, you don't own your accounts. They can kick you out today for no reason, and you're not going to get it back. So that's the piece that you can own and control.
Well, and if you have a blog on your website, for example, and you're providing information, that's not going away unless you remove it. So whereas, you know, your Facebook feed, your Instagram feed is gone in a day, people don't find what you just posted. So having a website just goes in because that information is continually there, constantly or still ranked by Google. I can Google something and, you know, completely, you know, not looking for any of my content, but I'll Google a topic and one of my blog posts from 8 years ago will pop up sometimes. So there, it's a great way to keep that information out there and continue to provide content and information to people. And eventually, you know, if you connect with them, they'll roll around and end up being your customers. And you know, which kind of brings me to my number one point about this is websites are a credibility factor. You know, the days of the yellow pages are gone. we know it's Google. Everything is, it's the, you know, we all try to please the Google gods, as I say, when we're building websites. And your credibility as a business these days is tied to your website. And, you know, if you've got a recommendation for Joe the plumber, and but you don't know anything about him, you're going to go to Google and look for him. And if he doesn't have a website, it's like, gosh, you know, how legit is the guy? And so this is something that's really, a lot of people don't think about that credibility factor. And given that, like you said, April, that 40% of small businesses still don't have a website these days, if you are not in that 40%, you've got a leg up on that 39% then that don't have one, if you get one, because you, you're able to reach those people that they can't. So the credibility is just, it's a big deal in my mind.
Absolutely. Yeah, those are some great points. Yeah, I was saying with the Yellow Pages for sure, and everybody doesn't go to the Yellow Pages anymore. It's Google.
I don't even have a Yellow Pages book in my house.
They still deliver them. They still deliver them to our house now. They're about the size of an inch now instead of 20 inches.
Right.
And they go directly into recycling. I
use it for a tool anymore.
Yeah. I don't know why they still do it. I really don't.
Just a paperweight now.
So obviously, and one of the things, though, that I've seen, and I'm going to bring this up because I've seen it with horse businesses so much, is they don't update them. If you're going to have a website, you've got to update it. You can't just leave it there for 10 right. years and never change anything. So I'm always very frustrated when we have a guest on that's a rider or a clinician, and I go on there and I hit, because I want to see before we have them on what clinics they have coming up so I can talk to them about it. And 2015's clinics are listed. And they haven't updated it in 5 years. First of all, Google doesn't like websites that aren't updated. They will drop you down and you will not show up in search results unless it is updated on a regular basis. But just keep the basic things up. It's not that hard.
Correct. Even like their contact information.
Yes. And this is a constant frustration that I go through almost daily with in trying to get some people to update their websites. And, you know, I offer maintenance packages to help them out, but not everybody wants to, you know, is able to afford that monthly charge, which I totally get, and I provide training to them so they can maintain it. But these days, what with internet hackers, if you're not updating your website so that at least your content is relevant, you at least need to update it and maintain those elements of your website for security purposes so that it's at much less risk of being hacked, especially with WordPress. You know, it's like everybody says buy a Mac computer because they don't get viruses. Well, they do, but people don't write viruses for Mac as often as they write them for PCs because there's 5 million PCs and 2 Macs out there. And so it's the same with WordPress websites and other platforms. There's a lot more hackers trying to get into WordPress because there's a lot more WordPress sites, so they can do a lot more damage.
April, do you remember hearing our hacking story, April?
Oh, no.
So this was years ago, probably 6-7 years ago. We are at the barn, and I get this call from one of our listeners who had my phone number, and I was in the car at the barn, and they said, "Oh, your website, there's something wrong because it looks like terrorists took over your website." That's exactly what had happened. The terrorists took, and they had all these awful messages, and there was flames, and there was things blowing up. The whole thing was full of terrorist messages on our homepage. And I was quickly call and get the backup put up and get it cleaned out. You know, I was able to do that within an hour or so. But yes, it does happen, even if you're, you know, really good about it, it happens. But you're right. If you can get your web person, it sounds like you do this, Teresa, if you can get your web person to train you, using WordPress is not that hard, or any of these other Wix or whatever, Winx or whatever ones are out there. If you can get them to train you to just do simple updates, it will take you a couple of minutes. It's not that hard. And so if you're going to update your clinic schedule, let's say, or you're having something at the barn, you have a boarding stable and you want to keep the activities updated, it doesn't take that long. It's just a matter of doing it.
Exactly. Sometimes it's just like Teresa, it might be just a quick message like, hey, can you update this for me? You don't even have to like stop what you're doing. Just send a message if you're doing like a maintenance package, something like that. So
somebody wants a website. Can they do it themselves? Or what's the other option? Obviously going to somebody like you.
Well, there's a lot of DIY options out there, and I think they definitely have their place in the market. But and it depends on your business and how much time you have to devote for it. And sometimes just getting it built can be so frustrating for so many people. They're better off going out and giving 10 lessons and making some money and paying somebody else to do it. So it depends on your goals with your website and who your audience is. Obviously, I am not a fan of the DIY platforms out there simply because I think they're made for the end user, so your design functionality is somewhat limited because people don't have the skills to really make it, to really customize it the way they want. And I think that with some of them, the SEO options are somewhat limited. It's not as good as like WordPress, for example. And, you know, I can pretty much do anything I want to with a WordPress site, whereas someone asked me to go make some updates to their Shopify site, and I couldn't do it, and it frustrates the heck out of me. So there's a lot of options out there. You just kind of have to do some research and figure out what the best one is for you. But, you know, websites are not just putting up a bunch of pretty pictures and some words and bam, you build it, they will come. It doesn't work like that. They're a constant work in progress. Professionally written content is always a good idea because it's written for SEO purposes so that you get ranked by Google. And there's certain marketing aspects to the layout of a website. You know, you have to kind of understand how the consumer's mind works and what they want to see and where they want to go and what they'll naturally do in order to get the most conversion out of your website. So I've talked to many people that have tried the DIY option, and 2 or 3 years later, they call me, and they've wasted 2 or 3 years trying to get an online presence the way they want it, and they end up paying for a professional option anyways because of the frustration is just too much for them. And, well, you know, some people are successful with it, and that's great, but not everybody has the option for that.
Nor do you have the time a lot of times. Teresa, where can people find you?
You can find me.
What's
on
your
the
website, Teresa?
Cowgirl-media.com.
Cowgirl-media.com. See, she has a website. And you have a checklist available for everybody, April?
Yes, I have a free website checklist for anyone that's starting their websites. And I know Teresa actually is having a 21-day challenge come up, so definitely check her out on her website.
Actually, this challenge is an ongoing challenge. It's not a scheduled challenge. It's something that people can sign up for and do at their own pace because some of the items they'll probably already have completed on their website. So it's just 21 days of actionable tasks that they can do and to help improve their website presence.
Terrific. I need to do that. Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Appreciate you being here. Yeah. And April, we'll see you again next month.
Sounds great.
Hey, April, did I hear that you're looking at going on the cruise, by the way?
Oh, absolutely.
Yay!
I already put in my deposit.
Oh, you did?
So I'm all excited.
Yay!
Yeah, and I put it on the Horse Radio Network's Instagram, too.
So. Oh, terrific. Well, we appreciate that. So that'll be a lot of fun. Thank you for doing that. Yeah. All right. Thank you, April. Thank you, Teresa.
All right. Thank you.
Bye. So if anybody else is interested in joining us on the Horse Lovers Cruise, go to horseloverscruise.com. We did a special episode and put it out on all the feeds, including this one, the Horses in the Morning feed. Just go look and you'll see a special episode. We talked all about it, and I saw a couple more people signed up, so hopefully we'll have more than 40 this time. Next year, we'll be out there. It was so cool. Our sister-in-law, Jennifer's brother and my sister-in-law, went out on the same cruise we're doing. They left on Monday, and we watched the port camera out of Tampa and got to see that ship leave. So they're having a great time. They said they love the ship, and it'll be the same exact ship and cruise that we're doing out of Tampa. Horseloverscruise.com. Well, Jennifer, thank you for everything. I got a conference to go to, everybody. So take care, and we'll be back the next couple of days with new shows. We just won't have them live. They'll be on your feed. Take care, everybody.